Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I am Adam Kimmelman. Here, as always, with Mike Morreale. It is Thursday here at the NHL Scouting Combine. More interviews, more players, more information we're learning, Mike. And we've gotten to talk to more guys.
And more coffee, Adam.
There's never enough coffee.
Never enough. But you're right. It's, you know, we have testing being done today at the Harbor Center. So there are some interviews still going on here at KeyBank. So players still have to go through the routine. Most of the testing will be done on Saturday, but we do have the VO2 that's going to take place, the bike test, tomorrow, Friday. So a lot of activity still going on here before the gauntlet, as they call it, on Saturday.
Well, for those who don't know, kind of give a brief explanation of what the VO2 bike test is, that everyone hears so much about these torturous bike tests. So for the VO2 test, for people who haven't done it, kind of, can you explain what all goes on?
Yeah, I mean, well, in layman's terms, it's basically a 15-minute grueling, tireless pedaling of the bike. And they actually said, people, that some of the scouts have actually told me that it's kind of the equivalent, and scouts and GMs will get to find out how these players will respond during the course of a shift. Right. They play a 30, 40-second shift, a minute shift, come off the ice, then you have to go back on in a minute's time. Can they recover quick enough? Are they able to recover quick enough? That's what these bike tests are able to provide in some ways,
yeah,
to these scouts and GMs.
It gives them a measure of endurance and recovery because they're wearing the mask, so they're monitoring their oxygen intake. It's very scientific. But it, as to your point, it does give them an answer to how they respond to the physical strenuousness of a shift and
yes,
how quickly they recover and how quickly they can come back, sit on the bench, get their resting heart rate back to where it needs to be, get their energy level back up, and bang, they're right back out there on the ice. So it's an important test.
Yes, and speaking of being able to come back out on the ice, we have two great guests today.
Yes.
First, Adam Fantilli. And considering Adam Wright, what he was able to provide and do in college hockey this year was extraordinary.
One of the best seasons in the history of college hockey, winning the Hobey Baker Award, leading NCAA in scoring. So we're going to have Adam Fantilli. We're also going to have Will Smith from the U.S. National Team program a little bit later. But let's get to that interview with the Michigan man himself, Adam Fantilli. Take us through the last week for you. You know, you go from winning the gold medal at the World Championships, then you go to Las Vegas for Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final, Buffalo for the scouting combine. Has your head, you know, stopped spinning yet? Do you know where you are? What time zone you're in?
It's been a whirlwind, but it's been amazing. I am having a bit of trouble with the time zones right now, but no, I'm kidding. It was amazing being able to go out into that atmosphere. Was awesome. Vegas is set up there. Their rink. It was crazy, and the NHL put on amazing stuff for all of us, and being able to meet those guys and with Leo Carlson and Will Smith, I had never really met them before, so being able to get to know them was awesome.
Had you ever been to Vegas before? Was that your first experience in Las Vegas?
It was my first time in Vegas, yeah.
What was your other than the game, and was there like something you saw, a highlight for you while you were out there?
They took us to the practice rink, so we were able to meet a few of the guys, which was awesome. They took some time out of their game day routines to come and talk to us, so we were really fortunate that they were able to do that. But also just kind of being in the city and seeing Vegas as a whole was nuts. It's a really cool spot.
What are you looking forward to most here at the Combine, Adam? And I know that you interviewed with Anaheim, and then how'd that interview go?
It went well. No complaints at all. Hopefully I did well.
What do you like about the Combine coming here, and what are you looking forward to? I mean, you're going to do testing, and is that on the agenda? Or
I won't be testing.
Okay.
No. I didn't really have enough time to prepare being overseas there. But
okay.
Just being here, it's been great, meeting all the guys. Dinners, just meeting all the prospects. It's been amazing. They're doing a great job here.
Speaking of Anaheim, you know, we all know what the draft order is going to be. Have you taken time to kind of take a look at their roster, their prospect development, like who they have coming and what life might be like for you in Southern California?
Not really, no, to be honest. You don't really know anything until June 28th, so I haven't really looked too much into that stuff. And could go anywhere, so you never really know. I don't want to get ahead of myself there and see anything going on there, but I don't think so.
Do you feel as though you've done everything possible to remain in the discussion as a top two pick in this draft?
I've done everything that I wanted to be able to do this year. I was really happy with the way the year went, with team success and with personal success. It was awesome. I mean, it's kind of like a finished product now. You just kind of got to sit back and enjoy the ride at this point. So that's what I plan to do.
Now that you're here, has the reality of what's going to happen in less than a month kind of start to sink in a little bit that you're, you know, going to go to Nashville and you're going to get your very own NHL jersey? It's going to have your name on it. And, you know, we don't know what team it's going to be, but has the reality of what's to come kind of started to sink in yet?
A little bit, I guess. Not a ton, though. I think that'll start to happen once you get to Nashville and kind of feel out what's going on over there. It's you wait your whole life for this, and obviously I'm extremely excited, and I'm extremely excited to get my whole family out there and enjoy it with them. So I don't know if it's fully sunk in yet, but maybe it will.
David Gregory of NHL Central Scouting told me that, you know, watching you throughout the years, the last 3-4 years, every level that you've gotten to, there was an area that maybe you needed to improve, and you did in that particular season, whether it was against older competition, whatever it might be. What do you feel as though entering your freshman year and now that it's over with at Michigan was an area that you wanted to improve and you feel you did?
Just learning to play with older players and mature guys and polish my own game to be the best player I could be. I think there's always areas you can improve on, and obviously none of us are NHL players, and that's the league you want to be in. So to be able to catch up and be at those guys' level, you got to improve in every single aspect of your game. So I think Michigan was able to help me do that. It was awesome.
So speaking of next season, you're going to have a big decision coming up here. Do you feel you're NHL ready? Have you made a decision on what you want to do next season?
I haven't made any decisions, no. I think it's we'll make that decision when it comes and whatever the team says and whatever my close circle around me says, and I'll take their advice and make a decision at the end of the day, but we haven't really gotten there yet.
There's pros and cons for both, right? There's advantages to staying at Michigan for a second season. You saw, you know, guys like Matty Beniers and Owen Power did it, and they were successful. You know, I know everybody's got to make their own decision, but you can see pros and cons both ways, right?
Absolutely, and that's why it's a big decision. I mean, I feel like you can't really go wrong, but it's Michigan's an amazing place, and obviously the NHL is where you want to be. It's where you grow up wanting to play your entire life, so it's a big decision. But yeah, there's definitely pros to both sides.
Well, I know at least one person that wants to see you go back to the University of Michigan, your brother, Luca.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
What was it like playing with your brother this year? And you've played with him the past 4 seasons, I believe. You guys have been playing on the same team together since Kimball Union. What has it been like playing with your brother and experiencing this with him?
It's awesome. I mean, I feel extremely fortunate to be able to do that. Not a lot of people get to play with their brother, but being able to do it for 4 seasons on 3 different teams is almost unheard of. So being able to do that with him and go through the whole ride with him was awesome. And him being my roommate at school this year, we were together all the time. So I loved it. That was amazing.
Kind of a roommate, is he?
The best kind you can find. He's he's a really easygoing guy. He's always fun to be around. He's got a lot of energy. So he always brightens your day whenever you're around him. So it's awesome.
When you look back on your season, is there a moment that you can pinpoint that 20, 30 years from now you're going to look back on? Because you've obviously got a lot to choose from. Hobie Baker, World Junior Gold, World Championship Gold. What's the standout moment for you when you think about your season?
It's tough. I mean, I played with a lot of amazing players, and that's something that really, really stands out to me. I mean, I was on a lot of amazing teams with great guys, and that's something, the main thing for me probably was just being able to play with those guys, and then the end results were what they were with World Juniors and World Championships. It's kind of hard to decide. A lot of people are lucky enough to be able to win tournaments like that, and I was on amazing teams, and we were able to get the job done, which was awesome. But when I look at the year as a whole, it's kind of hard to pick one particular spot.
I read somewhere that your dad, Giuliano, was a big Bruins fan. Is that the case?
That is the case.
All right, and are you a Bruins? Did he try to get that, you know, influence you to become a Bruins fan when you were younger? Or?
Yeah, my whole life I've been a Bruins fan, and he would, whenever they'd be in the finals, my dad would buy tickets and drive me and my brother down there, and we went to 2011, went to 2013, and we went to go watch the St. Louis one as well. He's always a dedicated Bruins fan. I'm sure he's going to stay that way, but I was a pretty big Bruins fan growing up.
I know your dad, you know, speaks fluent Italian as well. You guys visit Italy quite often. You have relatives and family in Rome. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have a pretty big family out there. The summer was actually the first time that I went. Okay. This past summer, so I was able to meet all them, get to know them. It's kind of cool to, you know, you got people with the same last name halfway around the world. So it's awesome just to be able to go and meet them and see that country. It's gorgeous.
favorite food in Rome? And is there a favorite place you visited that was like, oh my gosh, this is outstanding?
You know what? I got to credit my mom with the way she planned the whole trip. She really had us kind of everywhere, but she gave us enough time in each spot to be able to enjoy it. So Rome was obviously amazing to be able to see all the history there with the Vatican and see the Colosseum and stuff like that. But then she took us north, and we were able to see Capri, we were able to see Cinque Terre, and we went all the way up to Lake Como, which was awesome. So I can't really pick one spot. That was my favorite because it was all amazing. But and same goes for the food. I mean, you can't really anywhere you go to a gas station and they got the best food you've ever seen. So it's awesome.
That's good.
Well, now no one stop at the Rome gas station to pick up some food. I'm curious, speaking of Europe, World Championships, you got to be around a lot of NHL guys. Obviously, you can watch them on the ice, but off the ice, who are you able to kind of watch and say, because you're learning how to be a pro, they are pros, who was most helpful or who were you able to kind of watch from a distance to kind of learn from what it's going to be like at the next level?
You know what? It's kind of hard to pick. They were amazing. All the older guys and the younger guys, they were awesome. Off the ice, I would hang out with the younger guys as much as I could. I hung out with McBain, Jake Neighbors, Cody Glass, Devin Levi. All those guys were amazing to be around. And in terms of the older guys, that kind of helped me figure it out was like Scott Laughton, Tyler Toffoli, and Lucic were amazing guys to just watch. And they did an amazing job of bringing me in and then helped me figure out how to navigate the locker room and watch their practice habits and stuff like that. So they were all amazing to me to help me learn.
So rumor has it you usually go to bed early and you spend no more than 30 minutes on social media. Is that true?
Yeah, pretty much. I have a lot of time limits on all my apps and stuff like that. Going to bed early, sometimes it has to do with homework. So we'll see how much I have on a particular night. But yeah, I do try to get to bed early and I do limit my social media.
So another guy who I know is really hoping you come back to Michigan is Gavin Brindley. You're up here with Gavin. What kind of a teammate is Gavin? What kind of player is Gavin? Because he's most likely going to be a first-round pick also. What is an NHL team going to get in Gavin?
The best locker room guy I've ever seen. He's amazing. He's probably my best friend at school, and being able to be around him is awesome. He's obviously a phenomenal hockey player. What he does on the ice speaks for itself with his work ethic on and off the ice. He's just a phenomenal kid. I'm his roommate here, and I haven't seen him since school ended, so being able to be around him has been awesome, and I'm really excited to see where he's going to go and what he's going to be able to do, because he's a phenomenal hockey player. I love watching him play and playing with him.
Last one for me, Adam. I'm just curious, Brendan Nerato, this was his first year as coach at Michigan. He obviously got that extension at the end of the season for the job he did. What did he kind of bring to your game or add to your game, and what kind of coach, X's and O's coach is he? And it seemed to me like he was a player-friendly type coach.
Yeah, I mean, he went to Michigan, so that kind of gave us an insight with how much of a player's coach he would be. But you could always just walk into his office and just talk to him, and whatever you might be feeling or positive or negative, you just kind of want to go in there and share it with him. He's always open, his door's always open, and in terms of the actual hockey piece, he was amazing. I mean, he really grew throughout the year, and by the end of the season, you would have thought he's been coaching in the NCAA for 15 years. So obviously there was some growing pains with all of us, but by the end of the year, he was phenomenal and he was coaching us like a pro.
Well, Adam, thank you so much for joining us on NHL Draft Class, and good luck on the road to Nashville.
Thank you guys very much.
So, Mike, I think what really stood out to me was the fact that Adam said he hasn't made a decision for next season, whether he goes to the NHL. I mean, we're all assuming it's going to be Anaheim at number two, right?
Yep.
He hasn't made a decision. Is he going to go back for a second year at Michigan? Is he going to go to the NHL? There's pros and cons to both. You know, we had Michigan coach Brandon Nerato on in a previous episode of NHL Draft Class that you can go back and listen to, and he talked a lot about, you know, obviously you take out the selfish standpoint as Michigan's coach. He'd certainly, as he said, he'd want Adam Fantilli for four seasons.
Yep.
But he referenced Kyle Connor. He referenced Matty Beniers. He referenced Owen Power as guys who did 2 years at Michigan and became immediate impact NHL players. Would they have had that same impact if they had gone after 1 year?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it's something that we're probably going to debate and talk about until we actually find out what the decision will be. But You look at Luke Hughes, another one, right, Adam?
Exactly.
Spent 2 years, and I see, and Luke, when I actually spoke to Luke about this, staying 2 years and bringing up the situation with Fantilli, Luke did tell me that, you know, the 2 years really benefited him, particularly this year, because there were some areas of his game he wanted to get stronger. He wanted to become a better skater, learn the two-way-ing. Obviously a different position here, but you get it. It's just having that maturity before you reach the NHL level. And for Adam, big, powerful skater, and he's still growing, right?
Right.
He's still growing, so there's probably a lot more there that he can develop as far as being a hockey player on ice, off ice. So it's an interesting debate, but we'll see what happens here. We all expect, or at least some of us expect, Anaheim to select him number two.
Yes.
We'll wait and see for that on June 28th in Nashville. But I do think that, personally, I'd like to see him go back to Michigan for another year. Personally, that's my opinion.
I think he's in a no-lose situation, right? He can step right into Anaheim's lineup at 6'2", and he'll probably be 200 pounds by the time, you know, training camp starts. He'll probably be NHL ready. And, you know, you look at the Ducks depth chart, they certainly could use a center with his skill set. So he looks like he's NHL ready. I don't know what more he needs to prove from an offensive standpoint in the NCAA. He, you know, 18 years old, 30 goals, 65 points, Hobey Baker Award, led the nation scoring, tied for the lead in goals, got his team to the Frozen Four. So he's got the resume that says, okay, I'm ready for what's next. But to your point, there is some more physical development that can go on. There's some more emotional development that can go on because, look, he'll be 19 years old when next season starts. That's a hard, hard place to be, a 19-year-old in a professional environment. And it's not just playing against older, more physically developed men. It's functioning as an adult in the real world at 19 years old. And maybe we're informed by this as parents because we both, you know, I have a soon-to-be 19-year-old. You have a couple that have already gone through that. So, like, but you know what that emotional level is like. So more maturity from that standpoint will never hurt somebody.
No. And one player we do know will be going to college is William Smith, who we also had an opportunity to talk to here on NHL Draft Class. He's going to Boston College, so that'll be fantastic for Will to get maybe 1, 2, maybe 3 years. Who knows? He's going to be we expect him to be a top five pick. But here's that interview with William Smith.
So we're here at the NHL Scouting Combine. Will, how's the experience been for you? The last few days, you get to go to the Stanley Cup Final. Now you're here through all the interviews. How's the last few days been for you?
It's been pretty crazy, I think. Going to Vegas and seeing the energy there and getting to be around all the fans in the game is pretty nuts, and we enjoyed it. We loved it. And coming here, it's pretty cool. Getting to see all my teammates again and kind of see everyone else too is awesome.
So there are 13 National Team Development Program players here at the Combine, which is a huge number. What made that team so special this year?
I think, honestly, off the ice, we all loved each other. Everyone hung out with everyone, and that helped us with on the ice. I think when we got to the game, because we had so much trust with each other, that it helped us win.
Your line, it's just kind of drill down on a little bit. Your line with Gabe and Ryan might have been the best line outside the NHL and anywhere in junior hockey. What made the three of you guys click so well together?
Yeah, I think we started the year and we knew we wanted to play together, and we ended up getting the chance to. So we wanted to make sure we took the opportunity to stay together, and we did. And I honestly think we all kind of had our little thing to the line, which helped us click, and luckily we did, and we were pretty much together all season.
And you're all going to Boston College. Was that planned? Come on, what's going on here?
Everyone asked us that, but there might have been a little recruiting with each other, but worked out.
And how much are you looking forward to that, to being with, you know, your teammates there and being, you know, with the Eagles?
It's going to be crazy. I think we can't wait to get on campus and just kind of start up and get in the BC gear.
Now, did you have any choice? Like, you were destined to go to BC. It's sort of a family tradition, right? Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, I think I'm the 14th guy to go in the family. So pretty much everyone's gone through. Everyone goes to the football games, tailgates. So I kind of, it was an easy choice.
And your sister's there now still, right?
Yep, she's going to be a senior next year.
Good to have at least a familiar face on campus outside of all your hockey teammates.
Yeah, it's going to be really nice.
You had a fantastic season with the program, obviously second on the team in scoring. How are you able to flip the switch though with the U18s? I mean, that's the tournament you guys gear up for 2 years. you got there. It was quite a tournament. 20 points for you to tie Jack Hughes in that tournament. How were you able to flip the switch and really generate the offense you did?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, that's what we gear up for. That's what we looked forward to ever since we got there. And I think our line and myself knew that we were going to have to step up in that tournament and perform. And I think we did, and that's what helped us win the gold medal.
Now, I read somewhere that nobody else in your family plays hockey except you. So how did you kind of get into it, and how did that happen?
Yeah, it's kind of a weird story, too. My dad's friend kind of stopped by with a jersey, and I don't think it was for me. I think it was for my dad, and just to come support a fundraiser maybe or something like that. And I ended up begging him like every other day for a jersey and for the in-house league, and he finally put me in, and that's how I got into it.
Did you love it right away?
I loved it. I honestly like kind of like sliding around playing goalie, but got into player after.
When did you move to forward?
I was a D first, and then probably might. I switched to forward.
What was your greatest personal achievement this season, do you think?
Honestly, I think probably the gold medal was the team, and then obviously winning MVP was cool, but the gold medal is what really mattered.
When you're home back in Boston and you're skating with NHL guys, who do you sort of keep an eye on, or who do you keep? I know it's a pretty rich list of guys that you can skate with, but who do you kind of keep an eye on to see how they kind of approach things?
I think Jack Eichel. I mean, he's in the Stanley Cup right now, and he played awesome in game two. So I think watching him, seeing how he does his things is pretty cool for me.
What is it about Eichel's game that you can sort of, if there's anything in particular, that you can sort of pull into yours?
I mean, I think he's so smooth going through the neutral zone. I think his zone entries are unreal. He had countless the other night, so I think his own entries and just how smooth he is.
Is there any significance to wearing jersey number 2?
Brian Leetch.
Hmm. Why Leetchy?
Honestly, my dad loved him, and he's a BC guy too. So
there you go. Yeah, that's right.
So you're going to go to BC for at least 1 year. You know, I think we had Logan Cooley in here last week. We asked him a very similar question, and he said, I'll be good after 1 year. Well, now he's going back for a second year at Minnesota, so I'll ask you the same question. How much time till we see you in an NHL jersey?
I get asked this a lot, but I'm in no rush. I think got to see what happens at the draft, who takes me, and then go from there.
Will, I heard you're a pretty big Springsteen fan.
I like some of his songs.
Yeah? What's your favorite song?
Probably Born to Run.
Born to Run. Yeah, like it. Nice. Have you ever seen Springsteen live?
I haven't, but my dad's probably gone 15 times.
Well, he's got to take you.
I know.
What's your, when you go home for the summer, you're going to have some stuff in your game you're going to want to work on. Is there anything particular, like anything you want to do to your game to get it better, just to continue improving any particular area?
Yeah, I think something that a lot of guys in the NHL have is their one timer. I think if you perfect that and get that going, you can score even more goals there and even have more chances.
How about looking ahead here to 2024? Obviously, Cole Eiserman is a player that's on everyone's radar right now. Talk a little bit about Cole. He had an exceptional U18s as well when he joined you guys. What is it about him that makes him such a special player?
I mean, you've seen him play. I think he can just score. It's unreal. I mean, he helped our team out so much, and he came right in and performed for us and helped us out. And he definitely had a factor into that win.
Any particular quality that he has that, you know, kind of you think sets him above other players of his year?
I mean, everyone's going to say the scoring. I think he had, I don't even know how many he had, but he had a ton. So I think I know he set a record, but when he gets it, he's shooting, he's scoring.
Yeah. All right, last one for me. And this might be a little dated for you, so forgive me here, but you have a very famous name. How many Fresh Prince jokes, references do you get on a daily, weekly basis?
Pretty daily. I think a lot of the commentators love it whenever we're in like away rinks or something like that. They watch it back on Twitter or something, and they love it. But yeah, I get it a lot.
Did you ever watch Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? Have you watched catch the reruns?
I watch a little bit. I know the theme song, so.
Very good.
Well, this is great. Thanks so much for joining us on NHL Draft Class. We hope that one day you are able to see Springsteen in concert, listen to Born to Run live. It's awesome. So thanks a lot for joining us, and best of luck at the NHL draft.
Thank you.
Will Smith, at least he understood the Fresh Prince reference. I was a little worried.
Yes.
He's a little young, we're a little old, but he got it. It was a little refreshing to know.
I like that, and I also like the fact, you know, a Massachusetts boy, but he's a Springsteen fan. Adam, I know you're like on the fence. Hey, Springsteen, Born to Run, baby. telling you right now. And I hope he gets a ticket to see one of the shows.
Well, you can take him next time he plays for 19 hours at the Meadowlands for 2 weeks straight. Like, I can't. He's fine. Bruce is fine. He's fine. I'm born in New Jersey. I think by law I have to say there he's fine. I like Springsteen. Jesus. Anyway, so yeah. The hockey stuff from him was good, too.
It was pretty good. Yeah, it was. It was. And look, Will Smith is one of those players we expect to go top five in this draft. Obviously, you can say almost a record-setting type season with the NTTP and what he was able to produce. And then to go on to U18s, obviously, as we discussed, that's the tournament that this national team development program gears up for since their U17 days.
Right, for 2 years.
Yes. So the fact that they were able to go there to Switzerland and do the job that they did in dramatic fashion against Sweden in overtime was pretty spectacular, and Will Smith played a big part of that.
Well, coming back from 2-0 down to get to overtime to allow Ryan Leonard to score. And I talked to Ryan earlier in the week. I said, has it sunk in yet? And he said the reality of it is, and that was April 30th. We're in June now. He says, it's just starting to become real. He said, I wake up every morning. I see that gold medal hanging in my room because my jersey's hung up over my bed. You know, we're the band of brothers. It's going to be there forever. I said, can you take me through to goal? He said, no, it's a blur. He says, all I remember is the puck went in the net, and then it was a yard sale. Guys jumping on me, throwing against the glass. It was amazing.
Yeah.
So, you know, Will was part of that group. For them to, you know, to your point, it's a two-year goal. It's a two-year mission, the under-18s, to win, and to win it the way they did it. That's a memory. It's going to last a lifetime for those guys.
And Will is a leader, right? I mean, there were so many good players on that club, including the top line, as you know, you discussed with Will, with Gabe Perreault, and what they were able to produce as a top line at the NTTP and at U18s. But, you know, also the fact that, you know, this is a kid that for the last 2-3 years has, you know, his teammates have seen that leadership quality in him and what he's able to bring, what he's able to provide. And I think the fact that in a big tournament like the U18s, when he's able to go there, produce, be a leader, it says a lot about him, not only on the ice, but off as well. So,
well, yeah, and I think the fact that all three of those guys are going to BC together, good luck stopping that. I mean, nobody can stop them at the under-18 level. They went against NCAA players, you know, because that's the schedule the NTTP plays. So they already have experience playing against college guys. They're going to be a nightmare for Hockey East.
Yeah.
Just a nightmare.
It will be. I mean, they're going to have to learn the ropes, right, as freshmen.
I can't imagine it's going to be a heavy adjustment for Smith and Leonard and Perreault to sort of figure out the college game.
It'll be interesting to see if they're on the same line together, right? Maybe.
Tough call to split those guys up after what they accomplished together. But, we had, you know, you mentioned Smith as a top five candidate. We both had him top five in our mock draft, and you can find that mock draft on NHL.com or you can check out a previous episode of NHL Draft Class where we talked about the mock draft and debated who we had where and why. I think I had Smith going, number four to San Jose.
Yes. I believe I had Smith going number four as well to San Jose. Oh my gosh. I don't have the mock in front of me. So if I'm incorrect there, please forgive me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it was number four, you know. But, hey, he's going to be top five. I know we had him top five going out. So
that explosive skill, explosive skill, the pull you out of your seat ability that he has, it's a really hard thing to pass over.
A lot of comparisons from the scouts were Mitch Marner.
Yeah.
They see a lot of Mitch Marner in him. And even he likes to try the Trevor Zegras type plays and maneuvers and the way he shifts on the ice. He's that type of player. But you know what, Adam, too? He's got that size, right? He's got good size. So he can get into the corners. He can muck it. He can grind it. So a very versatile player in that regard.
Yeah, and he just looks like he's going to be an excellent future NHL player, whether that's after 1 year at BC, 2 years, 3 years. You know, that's going to be determined down the road. But he does look like he's going to be a great player.
And whether he plays center or maybe he'll start in the NHL or after he's finished with his college career, maybe he'll start on wing in the NHL playing there. I mean, but either way, he can do it. So,
well, as I said, you know, that's all going to be determined. And you can check out where we thought of him in our mock draft on NHL Draft Class. We also had Pat Cullen from NHL Central Scouting. He gave us great insight on guys on guys from the NTDP as well as the USHL in previous Draft Class episodes. And we also had some of the great minds from NHL Central Scouting talking about the top goalies, top players from the Quebec League. top players from the Ontario League. All great stuff. Yeah. And you can definitely go back and check those episodes out, as well as the one we did yesterday with Connor Bedard. You know, the presumptive number one pick in the draft. Connor was great sitting and talking with us about, you know, where he still wants to get better, as great as a season as he had, where he still wants to and thinks he can get better in his game.
And Mike Dunahy, the director of scouting for the Chicago Blackhawks, also joined us, and he discussed the top three players in this year's draft. He wouldn't actually give us the Blackhawks pick at number
Surprising,
one.
Surprising he wouldn't give that to us.
But some great insight there from Mike as well into the combine process, how the Blackhawks evaluate these players, what goes on in the Q&A when the players come in for those 15, 20-minute interviews. So it was a great first episode here at the Combine.
And I there's going to be more great stuff to come. So definitely stay tuned to NHL Draft Class as we progress on the road to Nashville and Bridgestone Arena for the 23 draft on June 28th and 29th. So you can follow everything we do on NHL.com. But absolutely, I can't stress enough, go back and listen to some of the previous episodes of NHL Draft Class. Stay tuned for more that we have to come from the Combine, more with the great minds from Central Scouting, more with some of the great prospects that are going to be picked this year. But for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.